right, welcome everybody to the Fire and Emergency Services Committee. It is Tuesday, October 30th, 2023. We are beginning at 5:32 p.m. in the Cameron Park Community Center Social Room. So with this, we call to order, and I will take roll call. Eric Aston is present. Director Wilson.
Also present.
Wonderful. Make note, General Manager Ritzman was not able to be here this evening. But we are also in attendance with Staff Chief Martin, Chief Callen, and other folks from the community. All right, public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. All right, we'll start with the adoption of the agenda. Do we have any comments, questions, additions, or motions from either the committee or public?
Eric, I would make a suggestion that
yes.
We move the staff reports in front of department matters. Part of the department matters, we're going to reference the staff reports.
Okay. I don't see any problem with that. Director Wilson? You good for that?
I'm good with that.
Okay. Any other comments, additions, or do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the agenda with moving staff reports, which is item 3 and 4, ahead of department matters.
All right. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And so it passes. Move now to the approval of the conformed agenda, our notes and our agenda from previous meeting last month. If you've had a chance to review it, any additions, corrections, comments, or a motion to approve?
I move to approve.
All right, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Conformed agenda has been approved. We move now to open forum, where members of the public can speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. So we will open forum. If any members of the public would like to speak for the committee. Ms. Barber.
Barbara Rogers, Cameron Park. I want to bring to your attention that if anybody in the room would like a copy of the recording from the last meeting, I do have it. I'd be glad to forward it to you via email. It was an informative meeting, and I would also encourage, I think everybody was there actually, it's in the room, Eric and Julia, but to read the Municipal Services Review, which in my opinion was a pretty bad review. And in speaking to other people, and I do need members of LAFCO, they are in agreement with me, and I really hope that our district looks at this and sees what, you know, well, I think we pretty well know what's broken, but we really need to move forward and do something about it. So anyway, I just want to bring that to your attention that I do have the recording. If you would like me to send it to you, I will.
I would like to listen to the end because I left before some remarks were made that I would like to hear.
I left before, I thought when it was over, for Cameron Park it was over, but I guess they talked at the end, so I haven't been to a LAFCO meeting in eons. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'll send it to anybody who wants it, okay?
Thank you, appreciate that. All right, any other members of the public want to address the committee on non-agenda items at this point? Okay, seeing none, we will close open forum. We will move now to staff report, starting with number 3, which is the department report for July 2023. Chief Richards, take it away, sir.
All right, so let's start off a look at our incident totals. And just keep in mind, this is a one-month snapshot, but it's not the true month of September. It's August 27th to September 27th, so it captures from the last report. Looking at our calls for that 30-day snapshot, 0 vegetation fires, which actually will be 1, but it was the night after that I sent this in, so that'll be captured at the next month's meeting. 1 structure fire, 7 auto/miscellaneous fires, 3 traffic collisions, 158 medical aids, 3 hazardous conditions, and 45 public assists. Looking at our monthly totals. So from August of 23, which is actually like the July 27 to, you know, that overlap, 233, and this September, 218, a decrease in 6.5%. Our yearly from September to this September, we've decreased quite a bit, 23.6% decrease. And then year-to-date, so that's January 1 of 22 to September 27, 22 is 2567, and then this year, 2023, is 2253, which is a decrease of 12.3%. As we go to the other piece here, so our vehicle maintenance report out. Some updates to that. We've got engine 389 is up to 8,400. That's the only significant difference from the last month's maintenance. There was some pretty major repairs that needed to be done to the pump. Some hydraulic pump parts had to be manufactured and installed. And then the high pressure hose line that was inside kind of the buildup, if you will, had burst. So they had to take the buildup apart and replace that line. Pretty pricey repair. Our rental incomes, so we've received a check from the Office of Emergency Services for our water rescue task forces that were based out of Cameron Park for January and February during the flooding emergencies. We staffed up a six-person water rescue team for several days in response to that flooding. We were reimbursed $65,015.23 for the use of our vehicles and our personnel time that were assigned to those task forces. And then the day after this report, we received an additional about $8,500 for one of the other stints that we staffed up our water rescue team for a couple days. So you see that as rental income, not our traditional rental income that we get from the Type 3 apparatus, but from our folks in Cameron Park that have the water rescue training and equipment. We were able to muster up and get that team staffed to support the county mission that was reimbursed from OES.
Great job. If I can interject a quick question on that, please. I don't know if there's been time to talk with staff. I'm assuming because we receive it in this fiscal year, it's allocated this fiscal year. I don't know if that is retro then in the audit to 22-23 because that's when the expense occurred.
So this will go to the 22-23 fiscal year,
okay.
Tied in with the CFO and the closing for anything from last fiscal year was the 30th of this month.
September.
This was the 26th or 7th when we got that check.
Okay, so
we were able to put it in. I believe the check that is coming for... Nope, they both went into last fiscal year, which was when it actually occurred.
Okay.
So anything that we get from now on will have to go into this fiscal year because of the deadline.
Mm-hmm. Gladly take it, but yeah. Just curious. Okay.
Thank All right, you. So just a couple items. For the administrative report, so last week our executive staff, including Chief Martin, performed an administrative inspection of the battalion. So that's at Station 88 and Station 89. And so the purpose of this inspection is for executive staff, to, first of all, to interact with fireline personnel, to kind of see how things are going, what their needs are, kind of just talk shop, if you will, get familiarized with the station. Luckily for us, a lot of our administrative, almost actually all of our administrative staff that performed that inspection were intimately familiar with Cameron Park because they all worked there in the past, a lot of kind of historical knowledge there. So the purpose of that, interact with staff, and then address needs and deficiencies, ensure safe and efficient operations of the battalion. So they're going to look at our fleet maintenance, fleet condition, our safety compliances, looking through our IAPP forms and documents, all of our state-mandated forms and things that we have to have posted, labor relations stuff, health and safety equipment, overall station condition, safety data sheets program, and then training records. So kind of getting a good fresh set of eyes just to kind of make sure things are being done correctly, and then also getting feedback from the battalion of what our needs are and how things are going. So really good opportunity, and I don't know if Chief wanted to expand on it. He's part of the executive staff that performed the inspection.
Yes, so we do inspections at each of our facilities annually. Pretty much unannounced. The guys here had maybe an hour and a half notice that we were coming. And part of that is we want to see really how things are unannounced versus giving them 2 weeks to prepare and polish and everything. And we really don't want our folks spending the 2 weeks of time. When we first started this, it was like a month time of just nonstop cleaning and getting everything together. And it's really a waste of our staff's time to do that. So give them some, very short notice, come by and look and see, make sure we're meeting all of our state mandated stuff, see what the condition is. But it's really the opportunity for the on-duty crews to sit down and have some open and honest conversation with the executive staff. What do they feel needs to be addressed? What's not being addressed? in some of those things. And so it went extremely well, not surprising. Found some things here and there with the fleet that are really easy cleanup items, but the rest of the administrative stuff was all up to par and where we need to be and met all of our regulations and that. So conditions and that perfectly acceptable for what we got. So pretty pleased, but we do these annually, and over the years these have really morphed. Like I said, when we first rolled them out in the unit, it was about a 6 to 7 hour inspection with the executive staff. They would go through and basically a white glove inspection of everything in the fire station, every piece of apparatus we had. They'd crawl underneath with creepers and look at the undercarriage, and Chief Blankenheim's kind of taken a different tune on it, wants to be more interactive, more beneficial. Let's not waste the guy's time, but we got to meet our state mandated stuff, but let's also have that open conversation, allow that on-duty crew to have some of those times to go back and forth and talk about equipment and needs and whatnot.
Any questions? So, just a clarification, this is primarily for CAL FIRE. I mean, because I'm assuming you say you do these inspections every year, that's for contract, for CAL FIRE locations, for anybody. It's more of for your operations and requirements, although with benefits.
Yeah, so for us, we don't treat Camera Park as any different. It's a CAL FIRE station.
Right.
Even though it's on a different funding mechanism, but we still hold the same expectations of the folks at Camera Park that we do at our station up in Motherlode Y. They are held to, because our personnel are driving the apparatus, they're held to all of our state mandated items with the apparatus, just as if it was a CAL FIRE apparatus, because we have our CAL FIRE personnel on it. So Callum talked in here, compliance inspections. We do a 90-day compliance on all of our apparatus. So every 90 days, we have to have a mechanic that goes and looks at it, like a 30-point inspection. They check the piece of equipment out to make sure it's still safe to be operating down the road. And that's not a Camera Park requirement, that's a CAL FIRE requirement. But because our personnel are the ones operating the engines, that folds under to our program for maintenance and that.
And that answers my question. This is more driven by CAL FIRE standard requirement rather than contracting with Camera Park. And
correct.
Even though we receive the benefit of.
Correct.
Okay. Wonderful. How long did the inspection take this time?
Station 89 was about 3.5 hours.
Okay.
To get there.
Wonderful.
So.
Thank you.
Good chunk of time.
That's good. All right.
Moving on. So on the 27th at 7 p.m., myself, my partner, Chief Avalo, both Cam Park engines, Engine 86, and the two CAL FIRE engines out of the Motherlode Y with the Ponderosa CAL FIRE hand crew were dispatched to vegetation fire on Knollwood Drive. Myself arrived at scene at first, and there was an eighth of an acre in the grass and brush with a slow rate of spread with a fence involved between two houses in the backyard. It was actually off of Kimberly, but it was butted up to a vacant lot that's being developed on Knollwood, so that's how we accessed. That's where it was reported.
Okay.
Engine 88 arrived at scene as the first engine, started a hose lay and had the fire knocked down with the assistance with the other arriving engines. The damage was limited to the area of origin, so the fence, the yard, and the vegetation, and no injuries. And the fire was in patrol status for 3 days. And what that means is once we contain the fire, that means it's not going to spread anymore. The fire's pretty much out, but we want to patrol it for 3 days and make sure that there's no smokes or any rekindles. So the folks rechecked it for 3 days, and then once that they confirmed there was no more smokes, then they put the fire in controlled status, which means it's completely out and it doesn't need to be attended to anymore.
Wonderful. Yeah, I saw some folks posting on Nextdoor about this as it was happening and complimenting the speed of response. So, well done. Any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you. All right, let's move now to department matters, which we have moved after staff reports. So we'll start with number one.
Oh, sorry to interrupt.
We're still
up. I apologize.
One more.
Sorry, I flipped the wrong page. Take it away, Chief.
All right, Foxhill Fire Marshal Pat here. So for monthly totals, and I have a typo there that is not July of 2023. I apologize. That is September of 2023. 16 inspection hours, 20 violations, and 8 corrected. noteworthy. So we met with CSG Consulting on a kickoff meeting on September 25th, just discussing our transitions with CSG to provide inspection and plan review services. We discussed kind of a plan intake portal update to the CSG website, some workflow items which are still kind of working through, secured key accesses, codes and ordinances. So we went over kind of what our expectations are, what our codes and ordinances specific to Camber Park, to familiarize the inspectors and the managers with CSG of what we require and kind of how we do things, and some of the things that, you know, kind of what our vision for prevention has been and what we're looking for, you know, some of the nuances for our community. So we're going to be meeting again to determine our efficiency and our workflow needs. This is kind of our trial study with CSG to kind of see if we're going to have, you know, find things and efficiencies we're going to need to streamline. So we're working through that, looking at, you know, billing processes, plan intake, permit tracking, some of those things. We're going to be meeting with the CSG staff and Chief Mark and myself just to kind of find out what our needs are staffing-wise and what the workflow is going to look like. Having, you know, a third party can do so much, but we still need to be involved with some of the, you know, permit approvals and things like that. So still kind of evolving. So far, so good. We've had them. I know that we've asked to see, you know, what costs we've been expending with CSG that we just started last week with them having started plan reviews last week and some inspections. So we haven't seen any of that billing come through. That's going to be the piece that's going to be something that's going to be a challenge to kind of work through of, you know, how do we receive, you know, we send out plans and have inspections done with third party, then we get billed, we then have to take that bill and then send that out to the constituent or the customer, and how that workflow and tracking is going to go. So a little bit of work ahead of us, but we'll have more updates in November for how that's kind of going and what we're looking at.
What's the setup at this point for that process of we receive the bill and then we go after the...
I then turn around and have to bill the applicants.
Okay.
And process that payment.
So the payment window for billing is a 30-day? I mean, we receive the bill from CSG.
So there, every 30 days they'll send us a bill. And so that bill will be broken down into which projects were done, right? So plan review for this project, totaling this much. Plan review for this project, we pay them, and then we then seek reimbursement from the applicants.
Okay. So early on, there's going to be an output from the district until we can start getting that. So there's going to be naturally probably at least a 30-day lag in there, potentially more.
That's one of the things we're going to have to kind of work through of some of these new construction projects can go 6 months, 9 months to a year,
right.
And how is that billing going to occur? So for us to bill up front, we don't know what those costs are going to be. So we have to bill on actuals with administrative fees added. And so I think that'll be kind of a decision of and something we'll kind of have to work through as we progress with this new system of do we quarterly or if, you know, once we get a bill, we can pass that on right away so there's incremental bills to the applicants.
Okay, but having the bills will allow us to at least begin to start making cost comparisons within the first 30, 60 days to what it had been and just to see how we do, at least until we get paid.
Right.
But we can compare. Okay. All right.
And so there, you know, there's three kind of primary jobs that they're doing. One being the plan review portion. So whether that's a tenant improvement, new construction, development, underground propane, or fire sprinklers, fire alarms, all that. They do the plan review, they make sure that it's all code compliant, they send it to me for a final, yep, that looks good. Then that project can be approved to then build. Then there's the inspection piece, there's certain inspections depending on what the project is. It could be one inspection for a minor TI, it could be 20 inspections over a 9-month period of time for new construction development, depending on what the occupancy class is and how complex the fire protection systems need to be and how large the building is. There's those two pieces. Then there's business inspection. So anytime you get a business license in Cameron Park, it triggers a fire department inspection. So we have to physically go out, confirm that the building's fire code compliant. Once it is, then they get their business license signed off. So what CSG will do is we'll get the request. They go make contact with the applicant. They do the inspections. They schedule them. Once they're complete with their inspections, then they notify us, hey, fire code compliant. pass the inspection, here's the final bill, we then bill, approve the business license. That's in a perfect world. Sometimes they'll find major issues. Hey, we found some major issues. That's when I have to get involved, whether it was this was unpermitted or there's some major life safety issues, then we have to engage right away and have different, you know, citations or fire watch, or it could lead to a lot of different things. And then the other piece is our state mandated inspections. So us as a fire department are mandated annually to perform inspections on all state regulated occupancies. So that's apartment complexes, hotels, schools, daycares, high rises, which we don't have any, jails, which we don't have any. And then there's ones that we have the option to do. So we're regulated to do between 80 and 90 we have to do, and then up to about 120 of we could do. They're also going to start tactics we have to do those, so they're going to start kind of trickling those in with the business inspections to kind of ramp up. Those ones are challenging with billing because they're not coming to us for an inspection like in a plan review, development, or business license. Mm-hmm. They're getting solicited by us. Hi, we're coming to do an inspection, and by the way, it's going to cost money. So those have billing challenges. I've been working with some of the other fire districts of how do you guys address these issues of, you know, they don't want the inspection, right? We have to do the inspection. Now you're having to have to bill them afterwards. So there could be some payment challenges with that. So in the past, that's been a little bit of an issue, but I'm looking at some options with billing companies and other routes we can go to ensure that we do collect those costs.
Okay. Is there any current channel where that's communicated to businesses, where they have a business, they should be aware that they're going to be getting inspected, so but something that gets inserted in some other kind of...
You mean the state regulated ones?
Yeah.
You know, well, we've been doing them regularly since before when I got here. The frequency has kind of wavered, so most all of them are aware of it. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, there could be change of ownerships or new buildings that become a state-regulated occupancy. So, like, if a new daycare goes in, we have actually today I talked to one of my colleagues from another fire district and said, hey, it might be a good idea to have an information document for when they do go do the inspection that has, this is why we're doing it, this spells out the rules, regulations, this is we're going to charge, this is why, this is how, and kind of, you know, give that information out. So
education in the moment.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, so if they find a problem, you still have to take the action on it. Did I hear that correctly? Or does it depend on what it is?
It depends on what it is. So let's say, you know, they're representing us doing the inspection. So most of the time it's, hey, this exit sign battery needs to be replaced. That's not a life or death thing where you need to engage, right? Hey, we'll be back in 15 days, 30 days, depending. They get it fixed, no problem. It's the egregious ones that are, hey, this is unsafe for people to be in right now. So we're going to need, you know, your assistance. That's when I would have to engage. But they, most of the time, in general, will notify deficiencies, notify them with an inspection report, reschedule the inspection, come to see if it's remedied. If they aren't remedying the situation, and in business licenses, inspections are pretty motivated to get those done because their business license is hinging on that, right? We're there because they needed the business license. So those ones aren't the issue. The state-regulated ones pose some issues. So we have, in the past, had to red tag buildings and pull electrical meters off of buildings and things to reduce the risk of not allowing people to be in the building. So that's when I would be engaged as a fire marshal. Okay. So probably your 5% of the time.
Okay. I'll be interested to monitor the impact of another agency doing this, creating a little bit of a time gap where before it was instantaneous. Here they're doing it, you can manage that. They're doing it now, they got to communicate with you. You have to go.
Yeah. And I have
too early to really gauge.
Yeah, and so the just kind of a little more kind of information on CSG. So they provide fire prevention and fire marshal services to various fire districts throughout the state. So like Rodeo Hercules Fire District, mm-hmm. they are the sole provider. They do all the fire, but they do everything. American Canyon Fire District, a handful of districts in the Bay Area and in the Central Valley. They do all the plan reviews for the City Sacramento Fire Department. So they're pretty well versed in that. And the inspector that's assigned to Cameron Park is a retired fire department inspector. And the manager who's overseeing the Cameron Park contract with CSG is a retired fire marshal. So they have good institutional knowledge, very experienced. It's kind of their second career, if you will. I think, you know, that they've seen a lot and will be able to communicate that stuff. I have both their cell phone numbers, been in contact with them. They're kind of one of the things that they mentioned, you know, they're an extension of our program. They're representing what we want and what our expectations are for prevention. So it would be like us, you know, kind of filling that fire prevention specialist role. Is now that I have that contact with the inspector, we're in constant communication. So because he's ultimately doing the inspections on my behalf.
Any questions from the community? Wonderful. Thank you for that report. Alright, now I may properly move toward department matters. So we'll move to department matters number one. This is apparatus and vehicle maintenance, oral report, Chief Martin and Chief Richards.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about vehicle maintenance and the update and cost, and one of the things I wanted to bring up as we go through this. So we talked about the $5,000 cost to engine 389. That was about the last increase that really bumped up into there. And then we talked about our admin inspection. As we went through, we noted some deficiencies. One of those would be on engine 289. Tires have a shelf life in the fire service. So the tires are hitting their 7-year mark on that engine. So no matter on the wear, we have to replace them. So that's going to be a hit that's coming with replacing tires on engine 289 at that 7-year mark. One of the other things that I wanted to just kind of have some open back and forth discussion. We talk about vehicle maintenance and that when you look at engine 89, we're at only at $1,200. Well, the other day it went up to our Cal Fire Eldorado shop, got a complete oil change service, got a transmission service, got the compliance inspection, was there for about 4 hours of time to get all that done with our Cal Fire mechanics. What you're seeing on here is the cost for parts and not labor. However, we are getting into our busy season in our fleet maintenance world as we hit the backside of fire season. All of our Cal Fire engines have to go through annual maintenance, and that has to be our maintenance staff's priority. We are severely deficient on the Cal Fire side in replacement vehicles, and they're starting to come in. So we're scheduled to get at least 9 new pickup trucks on the Cal Fire side to come in here in the next couple of months. Which is a significant amount of time for our mechanics to build those up to what you see Callum struck out there with the camper shell, the command box in the back, and that. So they're going to have to do that. We have 2 new fire engines coming in that they're going to have to then put work in. And so part of why I wanted to bring it up is we're very likely to see the maintenance costs increase. So you notice on here it says mech time, that's our mechanic time. 0 hours charged to that because all the work that's been done has been on their straight time hours. If they were on overtime, we're talking about $65, $70 an hour if we can get them to come in and work on the Cameron Park stuff on their days off.
Say that hourly again.
Sorry. $65 to $70.
Okay, thank you.
Your average shop time at like Riverview International is about $180 an hour for labor costs. So I want to have that open discussion because we're likely to see this number go up as we have maintenance issues with the equipment because our mechanics are going to be stretched pretty thin trying to take care of all of our crew buses, all of our fire engines, and then build up new fire engines, build up new pickups in that. And I'm not going to get to be able to pull them away necessarily unless they're going to come in on their days off to work. And so wanted to make sure there wasn't a shock when we saw, you know, what would be a couple hundred dollars of parts in the past to a couple thousand dollar bill, because we're paying almost $200 an hour for a shop rate to get the work done. So that's coming. There's a couple of minor things that hit with maintenance. We still have to do a thorough check of engine 88 and engine 288. All the other engines have been went through during the through that initial inspection. But the other thing that hits us is our annual service on the equipment. That's where all your fluids get changed, your differentials based on mileage, and we have a pretty detailed, we call in our world a C service. So A is pretty minor, B is like taking your car to Jiffy Lube and getting an oil change, and then C is changing out the rear differential, front differential, changing out the pump oil and that, and making sure that the engine is good. And that's how we get 20 plus years out of these pieces of equipment, is by doing annual services on them and that. And so depending on what our availability for our mechanics are, then that's going to have to get subbed out to a private shop to get the work done on that. And so noting that we're tracking our vehicle maintenance pretty good, you're likely going to see an increase in that over the next 4 or 5 months as we have to start getting some of these things done on the apparatus. So I want to make sure we were upfront on that and had some back and forth. And the other thing with vehicle maintenance that I think we need to start having some discussion about is engine 389. Engine 389 has been out of service for 8 months. Still out of service today. We're $8,500 into repairs on it. We have to go take it to get pump tested and a couple other things to finally button it back up. But with being 2001 and at the age, I think we should probably have a discussion on what is the worth of continuing to put money into it versus putting it up for auction, quite frankly. We had, this year was obviously a slow fire season. Last fire season we had it rented out. It made 2 days, it broke, and it was out of service for 2 weeks. So there was no rental income that came with that. Part of the reason you see a pretty sharp price in the Wildland engine world, it's a Model 14. We can't get parts for it. Mm-hmm. We had to have a gentleman hand make a part to get it back to where it is today. And that took 5-6 months for him to make the part for the pump to get it to work, because we just can't get parts out there. Remember, we talked about that the new engine, the big benefit to that is all the parts are readily available. Every Cal Fire engine is in this unit is the same model. We have parts. But that Model 14, we don't have parts anymore. So I think it's a good topic to have, and yeah, we have a need, but at what point does the cost versus benefit outweigh? We're going to keep dumping money into it, and we're not able to keep it on the road all the time. Is it time to put it up for auction and go down one in the fleet until the new engine comes in?
I think what will help us in that, the oral reports are really helpful to put that forward, is obviously a board decision for that size of an asset.
Correct.
So I think all of the details that you've reported will want how much rental income has come over the last 5 years, 3 years, how much maintenance has been done, how much has it been out, all the things you've reported. So we might want to start preparing that kind of a report to give to the board.
Uh-huh.
Probably worth us thinking about it and bringing a discussion and bringing it back. But it's been out now for 8 months, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. And any idea when it's back to us and in service?
Hopefully within the next month.
Okay.
Waiting on one more part, and then we can take it to go get pump tested and make sure the pump pass testing and meets the ratings, and then it'll be back in service.
Okay.
Which pump testing is something that we do. So I mean, that's not like WEP send it out to an outside entity for it, but.
Okay. Approximate costs on current repairs? Do we have any idea?
On.
Or not just yet until it comes back?
That engine this year, we're at 84, 86.
But what about the part that you're waiting for?
Oh, I don't know, to be honest with you. I have to check with the fleet manager on what the cost is of the part we're waiting on.
Okay. Because I'm assuming at that point, to put it up to do auction, better to do it after it's been repaired and working, and we can.
Well, yeah, I would guess.
You're auctioning. You're trying to auction something functioning.
We're close at this point to having it back to operational.
Yeah.
And so.
Any ballpark on auction?
We talked about that the other day, and I don't know. I mean, at the executive level, a group of us were around when that engine was put into service, and right, so there's that sentimental value, and we think it should be probably a lot more than what it is. The advantage to it, it's got below 90,000 miles on it, so it's not a high mile engine, but you know, as we talked, even with the new engine, right, when you go to the auction market, you know, it's a matter of what is out there and what the need is, and you know, depending on where it is, I think the last engine we put up, a department over in Inyo County purchased it from us, and so some of your smaller departments, you will be able to get it by, limp it by, and have an engine, get some life out of it. Heck, it may work for quite a while, but at some point in time for me, because we talk a lot about cost, and I'd rather put dollars and cents into the engines that are going to keep going down the road than having to try and find someone to manufacture a part or this to where I can go get the part off shelf, put it back in service, and continue using it than a long-term wait for what's next, I guess, is the question.
Well, and the other question I think for us becomes what effect is that on our local service? Not worried about rental at that point, to take one out of service.
I think we'll be just fine.
Okay.
We've got 388.
Which is 2016, is that right?
Yes, I believe. Off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Great engine, same model as the rest that we're using in the unit, would be the first one Cal Fire's going to come rent anyways. Because it's identical, right? It's a lot about muscle memory, and all the equipment on that engine is the same place as on all of our Cal Fire engines. So it's that muscle memory of where everything's at. And it's the same model, same function, and that. So that would be the first one anyways. And it still gives us a wildland engine for the district. And before it's rented out, the priority is for here anyways. With us having two reserve engines on top of that, I think we'll be okay.
Question? Okay. Any questions or comments from public? Okay. So, yeah, we'll bring that back next time for a little further discussion before we take the board, I think. And if you, as you can, start compiling that information, it might be worth bringing a draft of that report to the committee so that we can make sure everything the board would need is in that.
Yes. Absolutely. We'll bring a draft to the next meeting. I just wanted to start having some of these discussions, and that's why we did it as a discussion topic versus a written agenda topic, is to be able to have some back and forth on it.
That sounds good.
On where we're at with the maintenance and that.
Thank you for that. I'll throw into that discussion, because there's a lot of pieces moving in all this conversation, with an engine under contract coming to us. One of the questions that I will ask for you and that might come up with the board is, do we need two Type 3 engines? Do we need two here? If not, would there be a benefit to auctioning this one off? And then, once the new one comes in, auctioning off 388, would having one suffice for our district? And you don't have to answer that now. I'm just throwing that question for consideration, because that can actually affect the district's decision, too, on what happens with that new engine. If we auction off two engines and get a significant return on that, that makes keeping that for the district much more feasible.
I think, depending on who your fire department is at that point.
Right, obviously recognizing that.
having two engines, that's where your Fund 7 has come from.
Right.
Predominantly. Right? Having the ability to rent out both engines and bring in funds for capital reserve or whatever it's used for the district, I would say that's your biggest benefit to having two engines. To protect Cameron Park specifically, you can get away with one engine just fine. If I was going to auction, at that point, I'd really probably look at oxygen. You'd make the decision between 388 and the new one. You're going to get a lot more money for the brand new one to auction that off, depending on what the state of 388 is, because it's a brand new engine and it'll yield you a higher value on that side. I think that's still the benefit of keeping that contract coming. Is
right.
You put that up. It was noted at the last board meeting. The current going price for it is $464,000 for an engine, and that's with a 3-year wait time. So you have an engine with zero wait time, brand new. So you have some options there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So that's department matter number one. And now number two, facility maintenance, which I assume also comes out of the inspection.
It does come out of the inspection. And, so, and a lot of this comes out of, you know, that back and forth discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in and out of the fire station all the time. But it's, we're talking about specific things, and so when you get to sit down with the folks and have some discussions, this is where some of these items have come from. And Captain Winger's put it on his overall plan the last handful of years, but probably the biggest facility maintenance item that is going to hit, and likely this year, is a new HVAC for Station 89. So the last couple of years, we've had folks come out and repair. The last repair that they came out and did, just like fire engine, they said, we're not getting parts for this anymore, and you really need to look at buying a new one. And I never really had a good grasp of how much they're having to have someone come out and take a look at it. And that, and really for us, it's a health and safety issue as we hit the heat of the summer. If we have, especially being a two-story building, right? We all know that heat rises up. That's where the sleeping quarters are, and that. So if we don't have a functioning AC, and the crews are getting beat up. Now they're sleeping in heat, not getting good rest, and that. So the last quote that we did get, it was March of this year. So take it for what it is. But it's about $48,000 to replace the HVAC. There's a 10-ton unit up on the roof and a 7.5-ton unit. One goes for upstairs, one goes for downstairs, apparently. So that's going to be a big cost coming.
Right. And that would be one we'd go out for bid on, I assume.
I would assume because of the cost.
Yeah.
The bid that they got earlier this year was the guy that came to repair.
Right.
And hey,
that just gives us a ballpark.
Give us a price. They wrote a whole written quote to do it, but when the guys are looking at their budget, where do they pull $48,000 out of their budget to replace it? I mean, that's their whole budget.
Right.
And so these were some of those things that were starting to come up in that admin inspection and conversation of big ticket items that are coming and that we're going to have to address sooner than later. And it's not like repairing an AC at your house, being a commercial facility and having to, you know, the thing goes out, we're not getting it fixed or replaced the next day or the day after or the day after that. And you have to organize getting a crane company to come out and crane the AC unit up on top and and those things. So that was one of the items I want to put on the list, starting to have some of that open discussion and kicking around ideas of how we're going to, you know, how can we get to there to replacement of that before it breaks in the middle of summer. And the rest of the items are that the guys came up with are fairly small. The stairs need to be, the rubber on the stairs in Station 89 need to be replaced. The first quote they got was about $5,800 for that. For me, that's a no-brainer. We have to do that one. They're going up and down the stairs in the middle of the night. The rubber comes up, they trip. I got a much higher workers' comp bill than the 5,800. And then the other two things they hit with was the interior and exterior paint on Station 89, that it's been quite a few years since we've had both of those replaced, which is quite expensive. I guess more expensive than I thought. You're looking at about $22,000 to paint the inside and outside of Station 89 alone. 88, I'm pretty sure we painted not too long ago on the interior side when we did the remodel ourselves in there.
Is that HVAC original from the building of that station?
I think it is original from the station rebuild. So,
I would assume they replaced them.
St. Patty's Day of 2003 is when the fire station burned down. So, probably 2004 is when it was put in, when they did 2004-ish, when they were completed with the remodel.
And they're recommending a full HVAC replacement versus just AC and not furnaces, or I don't even know how that's set up.
I think they're dual.
It was dual, so it was
Okay.
Is what they recommended.
It's a dual unit, I believe.
Okay, assuming electric. Or is it propane? Okay, that'll be worth looking at too. That'll be worth looking at too if this is the time to change that out, particularly with solar there. And whether we go electric this time versus propane. The cost of propane going up, etc. So, okay. All right, 10-ton, 7-ton, you said?
10-ton and a 7.5-ton.
7.5-ton, okay. 48,000 is not unreasonable on that. I just had mine done.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, so that was part of that, right, is have some of the open discussion and then be able to go back to the fellas and say, hey, do we need, and then work with Christina and look, does it need to go out to bid? Do we go get three different bids and what that process is. Understanding that that's a huge cost and knowing where we're at right now and what we're dealing with on financials. Luckily, we just got $65,000 in rental income, but how do we get to that point and start that conversation here now at the beginning of October and not wait till we're coming to the general manager with an emergency project.
Is it primarily the air conditioning, I mean the cooling, or is it also the heating that's an issue?
I don't know if they've had issues with the heating, but the one gentleman that came out earlier this year and said that he would recommend replacing heat and AC.
Okay.
And I think it's because it's that dual unit. They replace just the whole unit.
Right. I was thinking more timeline, because if it's both, then you're talking about winter. If you're just talking about cooling, that gives us a timeline to look at spring, maybe cut a deal because it's in the low season for some of those vendors and those kinds of considerations if the board decides to do that. Okay.
Yeah, and they've been limping it along, but that came out of this administrative inspection, like, hey, we can't keep doing this.
Right.
Well, you gotta pass that up the chain so we can plan for this. And so when I talked to Jill, that's why I wanted to start putting some of these repairs on the agenda and have some of that open discussion and start looking at that, because eventually it's going to hit the budget. Right, do we need to paint the place immediately? No. But it's that continual maintenance of keeping the facilities nice, preventing rot and all the other things that could create more maintenance. But I would say the stairs we're going to do here as soon as they get two other quotes from two other companies, and then start having some of those open discussions about the AC.
Do we have some kind of a facilities maintenance plan for stations? Meaning just a calendar and checklist of this happens every year, 3 years, 5 years. Here are the big projects. Here's when we did it, painting. Here's when we should do that. So we're planning that out.
I don't know if we have an actual written plan on that.
We have our annual maintenance of, you know, sprinkler systems, fire alarm, extinguishers, things of that nature. I know that Captain Winger's has been around and has been monitoring a lot of finances, has had these projects on the plate in the past, but I don't think there's an actual, like, hey, at 20 years, this needs to be replaced, so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we have anything written.
would it be helpful to any other projects that came up in there that
not in the discussion,
not our priorities, but just down the road?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Any
88 is 88.
88 is 88.
Right, I mean, that's the challenge. There's not much left we can do with 88. We went in and our folks did all the construction work in there and put the new floor in and mm-hmm. did the kitchen, and Grausberg did some of the cabinet work for us, so new entryway and that. I mean, there's not a lot of maintenance for that. The HVAC unit has not been on Captain Winger's radar, so
it got replaced 2 years ago.
2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was also around the time when we did the generator and, mm-hmm. and all that over yeah. there at 88. Okay.
So I think that's pretty stable there for what it is.
Okay. Any questions?
Sorry. No.
Keep talking in the committee. Any questions or input from community on this?
If you guys want help putting something together so that Captain Winger doesn't have to do it, I know you guys are super busy on your own. I'm more than happy to work with whoever you guys have to put together a kind of a running calendar so that you guys have it for your stations. Just because you guys have so much else on your plate when you work. You know,
we'll take you up on it.
I know my husband just brought home his maintenance board that was old from his old station, so I know that like how to organize all that stuff for you. So if you want me to do that, you're more than welcome to reach out, and I'll come in and just look over all the documentation and everything, make sure that there's something put together so that you have a comprehensive, say, 5-year plan.
Nice. Well, and I'm recognizing too that with everything in place, it's helped. We need to understand what our facilities state too, understand what our buildings are doing, where they're at, these kinds of repairs that need to come up, especially ones that are newer. We just need to take care of us. We take care of our people.
Yeah.
It's helpful, isn't it?
Jill and I had a long talk about this, and yes, it touches some financial stuff, but we both felt that it really belongs here at this committee because it is the overall fire emergency services, and then allow you all to take it to the board from there. And so we went back and forth, and I appreciate Jill. She wants to really steer a lot of these things back to this committee because that's what this committee is designed for, is mm-hmm. fire and emergency services. And then be able to take it up.
Okay, I'm just going to make a note here. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so unless there's anything else on that, we now move to items for future committee and agendas. So we've talked about bringing back a draft report on
389.
On 389. And then with, not necessarily for the next one, but potentially
yeah.
putting together some kind of a calendar.
Put together a 5-year plan with them. I'll work with them.
That's a beautiful statement. I'll put together a 5-year plan. That's wonderful. Thank you.
I'm a paralegal. That's what I do.
Nice.
Highly organized. For the benefit of all involved.
That's wonderful. Anything else from our discussion to bring forward on future? You to bring in the reports. I appreciate that. We had talked about just checking in on overtime. I don't know that we need to do that every month, but it'd still be nice to have just a sense of how that's going for staffing, especially once we make a transition regarding ambulance, JPA, all that.
Yeah, so for the month of October, we had 35 days, I believe, and then 21 were what we call forced days that nobody picked up voluntarily. Mm-hmm. November, we are planning for the overtime through the entire month because we have to make a plan.
Right.
But the RFP stated that the new provider would take over on the 15th. We can always cancel overtime just as fast as we'd like, but I'd rather have a plan to get us through the entire month of November. And then be like, oh no, we need another week or something, that we don't have a plan. So we'll get you those numbers in the next report as we're working on the post of the overtime and that right now. We are starting to hit that
training cycles. We're starting to see some of our classes come back from the break in the summer. Mm-hmm. So we have personnel going to classes, and that, so we'll see some of that uptick until Medicaid nights turn over to a new provider.
Okay. I look forward to next month's meeting, because by then most of that will have been handled.
Yes.
JPA, and we'll get the report on how that goes.
Yep.
Great. Okay, I don't know if there's anything else, Dr. Olson, for future committee?
No.
Okay. No items to take to the board of directors at this point. So now we move to matters to and from committee members and staff. Dr. Olson, anything for committee?
Well, I did go to the LAFCO meeting and listen to their presentation, and I know that Jill answered some questions, Dusty answered some questions. It didn't paint a very pretty picture as far as finances. We've got some things to figure out. I know they were expecting a report back in December. Actually, it was the audit, wasn't it? Not the 22-23, but the prior year. Yeah, the 21-22 audit they're expecting. And I am forgetting what the other thing was.
Then they have to come back in May.
Right.
Or have by May for the financial stability.
May was the financials, yeah.
May was the plan for fire service.
Yeah.
Anything
that else? Was pretty much it.
Well, and I appreciate it. I do want to hear more of the recording. I did read the LAFCO report for our community and sent Jill a couple of pages of comments and corrections, and I was disappointed in the representation of our district in that report and some inaccuracies in the finances and how it was portrayed to characterize our district as being under finance for the last number of years, not recognizing COVID impact alone in 1920, and how the district has actually handled itself pretty well over these things, I thought was a big oversight, but a number of things. So I'm hopeful. I know staff has been giving response to LAFCO on the report and making some corrections and providing other information. So I'm hopeful that the next draft of this is more accurate and reflects who we are better.
Did you say responses and corrections?
Yes.
It's my understanding that the findings will not be changed. And I've spoken to three LAFCO people to get a better understanding.
They seem to think that like a third of our LLADs were underwater, and I didn't have the impression it was that bad.
There were three that are slightly under, and we've been addressing that.
Saying a third of them, and you know, this is kind of a funny one, but that, you know, it said that the district offices were in Station 89. So that page,
I talked to Sheva in detail and Brian Veerkamp in detail, because LAFCO is very complex to understand. So I think before people jump to conclusions and make statements, they should talk to LAFCO to find out. You know, I was told that there would be no changes to the findings. So, you know, that's probably something that, I mean, you should make a phone call and, you know, find out the answers.
I plan to.
If you want Brian's number, I can provide it to you.
Christina, do you have a comment?
It's on the next meeting. Jill was given until October 13th to make corrections.
Okay. The only other piece I have, and we've got another meeting, so I want to make sure I'm out of here, is I want to thank our district staff, Christina, our finance office, as well as our CAL FIRE staff, for all the work you've been doing with AP Triton, getting all of those reports done, as well as our visiting agencies, but particularly our staff here. I know you've worked really hard to get that information in and up. I know it's taken extra time in the middle of everything else, so I just want to publicly acknowledge and say thank you. That's incredibly helpful to our district and to our work, so appreciate it very much.
And can I add another matter for to and from?
Yes.
The Browning Reserve has Station 89 and all the things in it and the timeline, and that was done in 2014. Things that need to be upgraded and all of the things that
are
there.
Okay. Thank you for that.
What is the Browning Reserve?
It was a study that was done for all of the community center, the parks, the fire departments, and what we have, and a timeline of when everything needed to be repaired.
prepared, updated, replaced, all that fun stuff. In the best of all worlds is typically what those
right.
studies are, if everybody has all the funds.
That
all
right. study's on the website?
I
it
don't.
It should be, and if it's not, I'll double check after this meeting and make sure it's there.
Great.
Thank you. All right, so with that, we have no other business before us, so we have a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
A second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And we adjourn. Thank you very much, everybody. It is 6:32.